أن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار الحمد لله we praise Allah and we seek His assistance and we seek His forgiveness and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil within ourselves and from our bad deeds whoever Allah guides there is none that can lead him astray and whoever is led astray then there is no guide for him I bear witness that no God has the right to be worshipped other than Allah. He is alone and has no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad is his slave and his messenger. O you who believe, fear Allah as you ought to be feared and don't die except as Muslims. O humanity, fear your Lord who has created you from a single soul and created from it its mate and scattered from them too many men and women. And fear Allah for whom you demand your mutual rights and don't cut off relations with the wombs that bore you. Indeed, Allah is the Raqib over you. O you who believe, fear Allah and say that which is correct in order that He may accept from you your deeds and forgive you of your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has achieved the greatest achievement. Amma ba'du, certainly the most truthful speech is the Book of Allah. And the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the most evil of affairs are newly invented matters in this deen. And every newly invented matter in this deen is a bid'ah. And every bid'ah is a strain. And every strain is in the fire. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He teaches us in the authentic hadith that everyone is responsible for that which he is responsible for, as he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, kullukum mas'ulun wa kullukum mas'ulun an ra'iyatihi. All of you are responsible, kullukum ra'in wa kullukum mas'ulun an ra'iyatihi. Jazakallahu khairan. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, everyone is a shepherd and every shepherd is responsible for his flock. فَالْإِمَامُ رَاعٍ وَهُوَ مَسْؤُولٌ عَنْ رَعِيَّتِهِ And the imam is a shepherd and he's responsible for his flock. And in light of that, I'm responsible not only for my own self, but for what I see in the community. And with this in mind, that sometimes I see things that take place and I'm happy, and other times I see things that make me sad, and everything has to be addressed to the best of our ability, inshallah ta'ala, as we try to encourage one another to continue to do the good, and then to admonish one another to leave off what is wrong. And that perfection is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And just because, inshallah, that we're all on the same team, meaning we're all Muslims submitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, doesn't mean that we're always right. And it doesn't mean that we're not going to advise one another to do what is right and to leave off what is wrong. As the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he teaches us a deen al-nasiha, that this deen is sincere advice. And we have to advise one another with that which is best for each other, whether it seems to be in a person's favor or it seems to be against them, but it's all calling to the straight path. Inshallah ta'ala. Some brothers have brought to my attention something that we had hosted as the Islamic Center of East Orange, and that was a basketball game that we used for a fundraiser. And all of us are aware of our circumstances or our unfortunate circumstances where we have to trick the people to give money to help themselves. Because if you just tell them, give the money to help yourself, he won't give any money to help himself until you trick him by a chicken dinner or a fish dinner or a basketball game or whatever. Oh, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. This is our circumstances. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase us in our practice of this deen. It was brought to my attention about this game that there were men and women there at the game, and it seems like even though there was a separation of the sexes, that it just seemed to be some talk about that event. Is it or was it befitting for Ahlul Sunnah, the people who are trying to practice the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or is there something against that? And we want, before inshallah ta'ala, we take a look at exactly what had taken place there, and we're going to leave some room inshallah ta'ala, as maybe everyone sees it a different way. And we hope that this comes out inshallah ta'ala, to take a good look at it from the different point of views from the people who witnessed what took place inshallah ta'ala. Before that, we wanted to take a look at some ayat from the Book of Allah and some hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam to put us in a frame of mind to deal with the topic inshallah ta'ala, other than having just our own desires with us to look at the topic. Oh, somebody gonna stop us from playing basketball, ain't nothing wrong with playing basketball, people getting too strict and what have you. Instead of looking at it like that, we'll take these ayat and these hadith inshallah ta'ala to put us in a frame of mind to look at it in light of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala's deen that we have accepted and that we ask Allah to let us die on. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says an authentic hadith collected by Imam Muslim, man mata wa lam yaghzu wa lam yuhaddith nafsahu bihi mata ala shu'batin min nifaq. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, whoever dies and didn't fight in a battle and didn't try to convince himself or to talk to himself about fighting in a battle, if he dies in that state, then he dies on a branch of nifaq. And nifaq is that you outwardly profess Islam on your tongues while inwardly you really disbelieve in it. So here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this hadith, he shows that the Muslim men of this deen should be fighting fi sabilillah on the battlefield. And the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, and we're using this narration, as he didn't say jihad and he said yaghzu, lam yaghzu. He didn't fight jihad, so that the people can take the word jihad and stretch it all across the board as the jihad walking down every street in America, and to understand it that this means fighting on the battlefield fi sabilillah tabarak wa ta'ala. Whoever dies without fighting or without talking to himself or convincing himself he has to fight fi sabilillah, if he dies, then he dies on a branch of nifaq, because he's dying without really practicing this whole deen. So it's as if he's saying, yeah, we believe in those ayat that call us to fight fi sabilillah, but we just don't practice those. As the munafiq, he says on his tongue, I'm a Muslim, but he doesn't practice any Islam, and he doesn't really believe in Islam. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to let us fight fi sabilillah, and to talk to ourselves and to convince ourselves to fight fi sabilillah before that time comes. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from dying on a branch of nifaq. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Anfal, verse number 60, tells us, وَأَعِدُّوا لَهُمْ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُ مِنْ قُوَّةٍ, and prepare for them what you have of your power, or what you have the ability from your power, or something like that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayah, He's commanding the believers to prepare what they could from their power. This preparation is to fight jihad fi sabilillah. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was on the minbar, as Uqba ibn Amir radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو على المنبر يقول وأعدوا لهم ما استطعتم من قوة ألا إن القوة الرمي ألا إن القوة الرمي ألا إن القوة الرمي. And this hadith of Imam Muslim, Uqba ibn Amir radiallahu anhu, he said that I heard the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم say while he was on the minbar reciting this ayat, and prepare for them, for the disbelievers, prepare for them what you can out of your power. Isn't the power the ability to shoot? Isn't the power the ability to shoot? isn't the power, the ability to shoot. So here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he shows that when Allah commands us to prepare, that this preparing is the ability to shoot. And this shooting isn't shooting your eyes to the ground if you see a billboard on the side of the road, or if a beautiful lady walks by, that you look at your steering wheel or something like this, say, well, I'm shooting my eyes down to the ground, not looking at that. This means shooting weapons, guns, missiles, rockets, bombs, whatever, to prepare to fight the enemy. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us in the Quran, and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam explains to us. And sometimes this issue isn't talked about because of the state of weakness that we're in. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ الْعَلِيُّ الْعَظِيمِ. But we have to talk to ourselves about it, that one day this will be the way of the Muslims, the way it used to be the way of the Muslims, so that the victory can be for us over the disbelieving people. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us victorious. But there's no victory without jihad. And if we think, astaghfirullah, we're going to vote our way to victory, then we're really insane. And that is no way of voting your way to victory. And if it was, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala would have taught us in His Quran or on the tongue of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَمَا كَانَ رَبُّكَ نَسِيًّا, as Allah tabarak wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Maryam, and your Lord is not forgetful. He didn't forget anything in His Quran. And He taught us jihad fi sabilillah, and He didn't teach us voting for the kuffar, the Jews, as they say, the lesser of the two evils. It's like telling somebody, instead of shooting you with my 12 gauge, let me hit you in the head with my 9mm. Really, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us to this deen. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the hadith of Imam Ahmad in Nasa'i, and it's authentic, he says, جَاهِدُ الْمُشْرِكِينَ بِأَمْوَالِكُمْ وَأَنفُسِكُمْ وَأَلْسِنَتِكُمْ. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, I command you to fight jihad against the mushrikeen with your wealth and your persons and your tongues. With your wealth and your person, of course, this is buying weapons and you're giving your lives fi sabilillah and fighting this jihad. And then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he adds, with your tongues, and this is giving the da'wah. Bil hikmati wal maw'idhatul hasana. With hikmah, and the people translate it as wisdom, and the Salaf understood this wisdom to be the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And is there anyone who knows of a man more wiser than the last prophet and messenger to humanity sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam? And beautiful exhortation. This is to give the people glad tidings of paradise if they believe in Islam, and to warn them of the painful chastisement if they disbelieve in Islam. This is how we call the people to the truth of this deen of Al-Islam. And this is one of the forms of jihad that we have to be seriously involved in. As the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, he commanded us to do this in this hadith. And everyone has at least something to call the people to Islam. As the Prophet ﷺ, he says in the authentic hadith of Al-Bukhari and others, بَلِّغُوا عَنِّي وَلَوْ آيَةً. Propagate what I have brought to you, even if it's one piece of information or one ayah or one hadith. Or as the Prophet ﷺ says in this statement. So everyone in his workplace, the marketplace and what have you, should be calling the people to this deen of Al-Islam as best as he could, as this is a part of this deen that we have to take serious, as is a part of jihad that Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded the believers to engage in. Also, this jihad is for the women, but in another form. As Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she said, قُلْتُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ عَلَى النِّسَاءِ جِهَادٌ قال نعم جهاد لا قتال فيه هو الحج والعمرة. And this is the narration of Ibn Majah, and there's also another narration of Imam al-Bukhari, which is the same meaning of this hadith. وعائشة رضي الله عنها, she said, I said to the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, do the women have to make jihad? And he said صلى الله عليه وسلم, yes, with no fighting involved. It is the Hajj and the Umrah. And this shows that it's important for the women to take this issue very seriously of making the Hajj and the Umrah. And how often in this masjid are we reminded over the microphone to prepare to make the Hajj and the Umrah. And this is the jihad for the women, and the women should always be looking every time they make their budget or buy the groceries or the clothes or whatever, that they're always looking at cutting back a little bit to always put away a little bit of that money in order to make this Hajj and the Umrah for the sake of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. As we see in this hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahibu sallam. This is one point that we need to take into consideration, this issue of jihad and how serious it is to propagate this deen of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala and to practice it on this level. Another point is the statement of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا دُخُلُوا فِي السِّلْمِ كَافَّ وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ مُبِينٌ. Where Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, O you who believe, enter into Islam wholeheartedly and don't follow the footsteps of the shaytan. Indeed, he is an open enemy to you. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is calling those who believe to enter into Islam wholeheartedly, meaning to practice all of this sharia that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought to humanity of the Quran and the Sunnah. Don't just practice some of the Quran and leave off some. Practice some of the Sunnah and leave off some. But jump into this deen wholeheartedly and try to practice all of this deen of al-Islam and not to have this American Islam. As we say, we're going to do it American style. But to practice Islam the way that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions practiced it, and the way they brought it to the rest of the world, and to get serious about every aspect of this deen of al-Islam. Before, it used to just be given the salams. If you can give the salams, mashallah, don't eat pork, you're a Muslim, walhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. Now, alhamdulillah, Islam is being practiced on a higher level. As you see, many of the believers, alhamdulillah, now they come to the masjid to establish the salah in jama'ah as Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has commanded us. Also, we see that the Muslims, alhamdulillah, are moving closer and closer to the masjid in order to facilitate the making of the salah in the masjid. And by this, the brothers are becoming, inshallah, closer to one another, knowing one another's circumstances, able to help one another, and to advise one another, inshallah ta'ala, and to begin to practice Islam, even on this level of entering into Islam wholeheartedly. So we have to take this deen into consideration that we practice in Islam now. And it's always looking at practicing it on a higher and a higher level. And when we talk about getting serious about this Islam, every move we make, we're looking at, we're going to do this thing for real this time. We're not going to half step. We're not going to fall short, except where we don't have the ability to do what's upon us. But we're going to take this deen real serious, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us. So whether it's in the fundraiser for basketball or whatever, whatever we do, we're looking at practicing this deen the way it's supposed to be practiced. Being serious about this deen of al-Islam and not following the footsteps of shaytan, because he's an open enemy to us. And shaytan, he just wants us to do wrong and bad. And disobedience to Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And shaytan, he makes the deeds fair seeming to the people. He makes the sin look good. He makes disobedience to Allah and His Messenger, alayhi salatu wa salam, feel good. And we have to be careful not to let the shaitan trick us into doing what's wrong till we find that we have a million excuses for being out of it. If you look at the Muslims who aren't practicing Islam, they got a million excuses why they're out of it. And the excuses don't benefit them at all, because these are the excuses that shaitan has given them to make their evil deeds look fair seeming to them. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the strength to take shaitan as our open enemy. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us believing, obedient servants to Him and His Messenger alayhi salatu wassalam. So on this point, we have to start taking Islam seriously in everything we do. And that we're not going to, inshallah ta'ala, take any move that we make too lightly. Because you take it lightly, and then there might be some serious consequences afterwards, and we ask Allah for His safety. Now getting to the point, and this is the last hadith, inshaAllah ta'ala, of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, getting us closer to our topic. This is a statement, كُلُّ شَيْءٍ لَيْسَ فِيهِ ذِكْرُ اللَّهِ فَهُوَ لَغْوٌ وَسَهْوٌ وَلَعِبٌ إِلَّا مِنْ أَرْبَعِ خِصَالٍ ملاعبة الرجل امرأته وتأديب الرجل فرسه ومشيه بين الغرضين وتعليم الرجل السباحة. And this is collected by Imam al-Nasa'i in his 'Ishrat al-Nisa', and this hadith is authentic, where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, everything that doesn't have the remembrance of Allah in it is lagwun, meaning that which has no benefit in it, and negligence and fun and play, except four things: a man playing with his wife, a man grooming his horse, walking between the two goals, and a man learning how to swim, or teaching the people how to swim. Here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in this hadith collected by Imam al-Nasa'i in his book 'Ishrat al-Nisa', the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he shows us that any time we get involved in something and it doesn't have the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in it, then that thing is of no benefit to us. It's just negligence or heedlessness, wasting our time, just fun and play of that which won't benefit us in this world or in the hereafter. So here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is setting a rule for us, and that is that if it doesn't have the remembrance of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala in it, that we're going to stay away from those things, because those things are discouraged by this hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wa sahbihi wasallam. And one of our ulama, he says, we are not saying that it is haram. We're saying there's no benefit in it. It's a waste of time, and it's just fun and games that won't help you in this world or in the hereafter. And it's discouraged that a Muslim involves himself in it. So here the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he shows us, once it doesn't have the remembrance of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, meaning that it's not really taking this deen into consideration of that which will benefit us in this world and in the hereafter, then that thing is discouraged. That thing is blameworthy, and it's something that the Muslims are looking to stay away from, as the Muslims are looking to worship of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. The Muslims are looking for their place in paradise, and a high place in paradise, as the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam told us to shoot for al-firdaus. And we ask Allah tabarak wa ta'ala for jannatul firdaus al-a'la. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasalam, he said, except for four things. These four things, even if they didn't have the remembrance of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala in them, and that they are play and fun and play and like a waste of time and no seemingly benefit in it, it's permissible. As the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in these things that the soul loves to do and has a wonderful time doing, the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he told us that these things are okay. And the issue of a man playing with his wife, we know that this is sadaqah. And we know that this practicing of the halal, that a man is going to be rewarded. We know this is the way to increase this ummah, so that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam can be proud of the biggest ummah on Yawm al-Qiyamah. We know this is the way to a righteous community of marriage instead of a zina. So here the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he shows us that this is good and it's wholesome for a man to complete his desire with his wife. And that even though he's having a good time and he's not remembering Allah tabarak wa ta'ala whatsoever, that this thing is acceptable in the deen of al-Islam. And by the way, we do remember Allah tabarak wa ta'ala at the beginning, if we forget after that, by the statement that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam taught us. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, and a man grooming his horse. This grooming of the horse, as the ulama explained, this is preparing the horse for the battle of jihad. And most of us, we don't know anything about animals, but they have to be groomed, as the Prophet ﷺ is showing us in this hadith, to be prepared for the fight. Just like people prepare the fight, you prepare your riding vehicle or your animal, riding animal, to fight jihad fi sabilillah. So even though you might get into the animal and you ride in him, and maybe you're combing his hair and feeding him and whatever, and your mind is just on that and not on the remembrance of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he showed us that this thing is okay, as this is defense of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's deen by fighting jihad fi sabilillah. And some of the ulama on hadith like this, that they say, in our times is going to be maybe taking care of the planes, taking care, preparing that the chutes open to drop the bombs, or that I don't know if the planes still shoot guns like in the past or whatever. Tanks, cars, whatever is going to be used in fighting jihad fi sabilillah, that grooming them and taking care of them is going to be, inshallah ta'ala, okay, even without the remembrance of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And I hope that I'm not stretching this too far, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his forgiveness if we are. And that is that in these days, the Muslims, they give da'wah in traveling in their cars. And then it's going to be important for the brothers who travel fi sabilillah to teach the Muslims the deen, that if they spend a little extra care in trying to maintain their car for their road trips, that we hope that this is underneath this hadith, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, walking between the two goals. And this means if a person, like if he's shooting a bow and arrow, he has this stash with him, and then he shoots it all out to the target, then he has to go pick up his arrows, and then walk back, and then shoot them again, and like that. And this is what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is talking about, shooting practice. And that this is okay, even if you don't have the remembrance of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Though most of the Muslims, even if they're shooting, they're saying Bismillah with every shot. But here the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he's showing that this thing, this type of recreation and play is okay, as this is also one of the ways of defending Allah's deen by fighting this jihad fi sabilillah. Others of the ulama, they say that this walking between the two goals is actually on the battlefield, that you're shooting and taking the weapons from the enemy after you kill them, and walking you back and forth from place to place, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. And then the last point, the fourth point that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he brings, is teaching a man how to swim, or learning how to swim. Here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he shows that in this swimming, which is very beneficial for the body, and even nowadays many of the people involved in sports, that they say that swimming has that type of overall benefit physically for the body, with the less type of exertion or even harm to the body, that injury to the body like running could cause, and some of the other things like riding a bike and maybe crashing or getting run over by a car or what have you. So the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he showed us something that's extremely beneficial for us with the least amount of injury that could take place to someone. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. And this pushes us closer to our topic. As some of the ulama, they say that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he singled out this as an example, and inshallah ta'ala, the best example of taking care of yourself. Because if a Muslim takes care of himself physically, then it gives him more strength to fight jihad fi sabilillah. It gives him more strength to worship Allah tabarak wa ta'ala by fasting, and by staying up at night, and by going the extra mile to practice this deen of al-Islam, because he's physically fit. He'll save more money that he can give in sadaqah, because his health is in shape and he doesn't have to go to the doctors as much, and onwards, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Some of the ulama, they stretch this hadith into saying that all of this other exercise that comes, like taking walks, running, bicycling, and what have you, that all of this, inshallah ta'ala, is underneath this issue of swimming. And that this type of recreation that benefits the body, that this is okay, inshallah ta'ala, using this hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. So here we can, inshallah ta'ala, try to summarize this statement, this hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and what we benefit from it. with the statement Fuqaha, or the master of the people of fiqh, Imam Abu Abdullah Muhammad ibn Ismail al-Bukhari rahimahullah. As he says in his Sahih al-Bukhari, Bab kullu lahwin batilun idha shaghalahu an ta'atillah. Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, he says, chapter, every lahwun, or every type of recreation or entertainment or fun and play that has no benefit in it whatsoever, then it is batilun, or invalid or useless or worthless, if and when it distracts a person from obedience to Allah. And here Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, as al-Hafidh ibn Hajar, he says that Imam al-Bukhari is using this as a chapter title because the hadith isn't on the level of authenticity that he has in his Sahih al-Bukhari. Though he knows of the authenticity of this hadith, rahimahullah, insha'Allah ta'ala. So Imam al-Bukhari here is summarizing, insha'Allah, this hadith, that if this fun and play and recreation and sport and what have you, if there's no benefit in it, and it takes you from obedience to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then this is batilun, or this is useless and worthless and blameworthy, and the believer should stay away from this type of recreation that distracts him from obedience to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And this is the point that we wanted to take into consideration tonight, that whenever we look at the issue of recreation, whether it's going to be basketball or bowling or what have you, then we're looking at the issue of, is there any benefit in it for the believer? And we're looking at, does it distract him from obedience to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam? Like the example where the ulama, I heard them discussing this issue when they had the big soccer game in Arabia. And they were hosting, like, whatever you call the championship of soccer, or the World Cup of, huh? World Cup. That they were hosting the disbelievers in Arabia. And at that time, and I don't know if it is now, they had built the finest stadium in the world, and the most expensive stadium in the world in Arabia at that time. I don't know if it's still the same way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. They had talked about how many billions of dollars that they spend in putting that stadium together. At any rate, you know the stadium is like no room for salat if you get 50,000 people in there or whatever. And the soccer games or whatever, they don't take into consideration the salat time or whatever. And that if the people are playing salat and you get that amount of people into a stadium like that, when the adhan is called, how are the people going to line up for salah and how they're going to make their worship of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, the worship that is most important to them, as this is the first thing that they're going to be questioned about on Yawm al-Qiyamah, is the salah. So this game and that atmosphere, we see how it distracts a person from obedience to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and for that reason it's blameworthy. And this isn't, as you look at the case, maybe where some brothers, they go out to be in shape and they're in the park or whatever and they're kicking the soccer ball around and maybe they're playing in order to stay in shape, to be together, get to know one another. Maybe they eat before, after, whatever, and so on. Maybe they discuss some hadith afterwards or before or whatever. Even though both of them are soccer games, you're going to look at the one there in the stadium where the people can't make salah and so on and so forth. And they have this cup that they're going, and I think they have like some of the students, and I don't know if they were exaggerating, saying that soccer is idol worship because the trophy has a person on it or something, and that their whole drive to win is to get that statue. Almost as if it's worship of that, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. But we see the difference, how one game could be okay in one light and not in okay in another light. Taken into consideration, is there any benefit? And taken into consideration, if it distracts a person from obedience to Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. As for our basketball game, the brothers had some advice, and it seems like good advice, inshallah ta'ala. And this was that from now on, if we have the basketball game, and there was benefit in it, inshallah ta'ala, as everyone was being close to one another, inshallah, and funds were being raised to help propagate Islam in America. I don't know if there was any other benefit.
Yeah, because of the Kufar this time.
Was it Kufar though?
They were there.
To call the Kufar to Islam, inshallah ta'ala, from this event of the basketball game. And this is good, inshallah ta'ala, keeps the brothers in some type of shape. We didn't hear that nobody caught a heart attack or a stroke from the older brothers. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to preserve all of us. So this, inshallah ta'ala, is good on the one hand. On the other hand, with the women in the bleachers over there, and the brothers in the bleachers over there, looking, and the bleachers are facing one another, even though there's a separation, there's a type of intermingling. And this is the intermingling of the eyes. And everybody's looking back and forth. And the brothers had advised, and this is good advice, inshallah ta'ala, that it's better to keep the women out of that. As was announced today with the women having a fundraising volleyball game and double dutch, I think that is. And that this is going to be all women. And that likewise, on the events for the brothers, it should be all brothers. This is a brother's thing, and the brothers hang out to keep it as safe as we could, inshallah ta'ala. And this is hopefully evaluating our circumstances, inshallah ta'ala, always looking that if we're doing good, to keep encouraging it, the people to do the good. And if we see something wrong, inshallah ta'ala, to warn the people against it and to try to stop it and leave it off, as perfection is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what we saw of this game, inshallah ta'ala. And if there's any other comments about this game, inshallah ta'ala, we'd like to see if the brothers had other comments other than what was mentioned, and then maybe even some of the other recreations that we are involved in, inshallah ta'ala. Yes. Brothers encouraging what was encouraged in the beginning of the talk by saying that this issue of shooting and preparing what we can of our power, peace to bilillah, that the brothers, they have something, and some of us, we go out every now and then, and some more now than then, and others more then than now, and that is this paintball shooting. And this is a way to prepare, as nowadays everybody knows that many people prepare for war in the simulators, where they make like they're in a war plane, like they do on the video games or whatever. It's like you're driving through the terrain or the sky or whatever, and then people are coming and you're practicing. And all of this, inshallah ta'ala, helps the people to practice for when the real thing breaks out, that the people are somewhat ready, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. If the brothers want more information, I think that the flyer is always posted up on the wall, and I don't know if the brothers are still going on this every other Saturday, or still going every other Saturday, inshallah ta'ala. They have equipment for those people who don't own equipment. You can just go with the brothers one morning and to learn, inshallah ta'ala, and this is encouraged in this deen. Yes.
Get together with something different. The person with pleasure to like it's good for exercise and it's definitely a Muslim under the block. Does that fall in the category that gets you the picture? If it's not for a fundraiser, but it's a membership.
The brother's asking, if it's not a fundraiser, is the basketball thing okay? We were just mentioning that that's just one of the benefits. Like you said, if a brother, the fathers are going out with their children, taking them out, keeping them out of trouble, knowing where they are, the brother's establishing the salat, trying to stay in shape and whatever. We hope that this is no harm in it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Yes.
Touch clearly that I didn't myself see anything wrong with it other than, like you said, that the women and men shouldn't be there together just as much as us men. When it would be very difficult for us to lower our gaze, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran to tell the believing men and women to lower their gaze. It's almost impossible for a man to go to see women play volleyball and, you know, listen to that commandment from Allah, as well as it, you know. A lot of times for women to go see men run up and down the basketball court and, you know, just to that command that, you know, I was commanded by going to the game. I didn't watch a game by going to the game. That's what I see the problem there. It seems like everything else is fine.
Brother's just reiterating that point that, yeah, the issue of the men and the women could have been the problem there, but everything else seemed to be, mashallah, wholesome and for the deen. And we hope that it was that way, inshallah ta'ala. And if somebody has, and nobody said anything yet, but maybe, I don't know, if somebody says that basketball itself should just be left out. Some of the brothers, they bring up the issue of man tashabbah bi qawmin fa huwa minhum, that whoever imitates the kuffar, then whoever imitates the people, then he is from amongst them. And that, in light of this, the Muslims are always trying to oppose the disbelievers and not to imitate the disbelievers. And maybe the Muslims will change the game of basketball a little bit, as even the kuffar, they change the rules every now and then, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Maybe the Muslims will change some of the rules, or, you know, maybe you get 2 points, 3 points or something for a regular shot, and maybe 2 points for a foul shot or something, just to make it a little different than the kuffar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Yes.
I want to bring out to it that game does bring out a lot of excitement in the people, and it starts to lose it a little bit, starts to clap in this other young. And it's a difficult game to keep away from the show. So that's a negative point about the game itself.
The brother is saying that it seems that the basketball is a little negative, as the people get to be a little too emotional. And the brothers, and people start clapping and shouting, and was there another point? Showing off when they play that game of basketball. And those are some points that are discouraged in Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best.
I just want to make a comment. We're going to go back before the game and before the advice was even needed from the brothers to give. That the people take a more of an active part on the committees for fundraising, all these good advices that we're receiving now could have been given before the event took place and before the people entered into the haram, if they entered into the haram. There are other injunctions in the Quran and the Sunnah that calls for the people to prevent their brothers from going forth and entering into the haram, if the sister was going to be there, if there was going to be a problem. All these things could have been alleviated before the event took place. And this is not the first event that we had like this. And nobody came forward to admonish or even say that, even if there hadn't been something that could have been wrong with it, to remind us of it so the people wouldn't go forth and putting on the program. I know the people on the PTA. I work on the PTA with the committees in the PTA. I don't know anybody on any committee that when they hear something from the injunctions of the Quran and the Sunnah that would reject it and have an event that's going to put the people in haram. So the people took a more interest on the committees before the events took place to take an active part in it, then these things won't happen, inshallah.
Jazakallah khairan. We like this point to come out as... it's an important point, and it always needs to come out that if there's any criticism, inshallah, that is constructive criticism. And this isn't the first event, as we've seen on quite a few of the fundraisers, that there's some type of criticism with it. And I'm not going to make that statement on this one, but I'll make it for sure for some of the other fundraisers, that the people with the criticisms, they don't do nothing for us now. And we can just say that really your criticism couldn't even be taken seriously because we don't know you to do nothing for us now. So why are you stepping forward to act like you want to do something now by saying something wasn't wrong? So really, we have to see that this issue, and I hope that nobody misunderstands tonight's talk to be just flat out criticism and a discouragement for the brothers to get together and for the people to work hard to raise funds to spread Islam in America, because we want the people to get together, and we hope that this is a bigger encouragement that the people volunteer their time and their skills and that they're involved.
Effect when it comes time to do something. We don't hear nothing when it's time to create a fundraiser. Everybody, whatever you're going to do, just bring it on. We're just down. But it's hard putting that together for the community because we believers, we Muslims, we have to do things that are halal. We try to stay away from the haram. And we can't do everything that everybody else can do. So when we set out, we try to make it. And sometimes people don't take it as exciting as it is, you know, like skating or showing a movie or something that your children or your family don't normally do. It's not as if, though, we're trying to imitate the true father. We're just trying to bring a little something to the children, keep them among ourselves, keep our eye on them at the same time, and offer them a little something. Inshallah.
Jazakallah, friend.
I just wanted to reiterate what was said before, and really that's the results. What we see is of the complaints and the laziness of the people and, having to trick the people into giving the money and things like this is a result of the people not wanting to give voluntarily for the pleasure of Allah, which comes from a lack of worship, sincere worship. And the only way you're going to really want to give sincerely for the pleasure of Allah is if you love Allah. If you don't love Allah, this means that you're not worshiping Allah. And if you're not worshiping Allah, you're not going to do what He asks you to do voluntarily for His cause. If you love Allah, you're going to do what He says to do voluntarily without somebody always constantly on your back and calling you lazy. Everybody's going to be competing and trying to do more for the pleasure of Allah. And that's just
Jazakallah. What is the position that we should take towards the Muslim children and adults playing video games, and what advice could we give them? I don't know what's on the video games now.
Karate, boxing.
Fighting? Teach you how to fight?
Teach you how to kill.
But I think the video, they have to be looked at in light, maybe in Alano's best, like those simulators. If they're going to teach you something that's going to be beneficial for you, alhamdulillah, and if it's just going to be a waste of time talking about to let off some steam, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. This needs to be dropped. This issue of relaxing and letting off steam and calming yourself down should be with the recitation of the book of Allah, the Quran. This is how a person calms down, takes it easy, by reflecting on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's ayat. But this thing that the kuffar have made that you take it easy and let it go by wasting your time, this is the way of the shaitan, because they don't want you to worship Allah. So they encourage you to do that which isn't beneficial for you by wasting your time and wasting your money in these recreations that don't benefit you in this world and harm you in the hereafter. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. We're going to wind up, inshallah.
Yes, I just want to take this opportunity again, as the people elected the vice president of the PTA, I want to take this opportunity to invite all of those that are present here tonight to the PTA meeting on the 24th of November at the Islamic Day School at 1:45 in the afternoon, inshallah. I would dare even try to mention have the brothers keep their wives home, because if that was to take place, then no one would be at the meeting. Best. My point is that the sisters take more care, as I stated earlier. All the brothers that are here tonight, I would like to see all of you at the school Sunday afternoon, 1:45 on the 24th of November, to help the cause of the Islamic Day School. Inshallah.
That's except me, right? No.
Including the event.
Oh, subhanAllah. That's on what day of the week?
That's on a Sunday.
Sunday.
Sunday the 24th at 1:45.
They accept me.
All the brothers that are available, inshallah.
JazakAllah khairah. Nah, let's try to wind up, inshallah.
I just want to backtrack a little bit to a statement that was said very briefly, and that is about the excitement that can take place when people involve themselves in a basketball game. I don't think it's just basketball. It's any game that we play, being human beings, we're going to have some kind of, we should be excited to some degree. I think our remembrance of Allah Ta'ala and what that basketball game is about, whether it's baseball, whether it's bowling, whether it's the war games, you know, people can go off. And it's up to us to remind one another if we go off. We don't play the game, and we shouldn't be playing the game for the same reason that the captain is playing the game. This is something that I think, with the statement that was made, it's not just an exclusive for basketball. We have stars in baseball, football, and bowling, in the war game. Some people may be able to shoot more than the other.
This is the second game. But everybody wants to complain. Everybody knows that the youth go up and play this game. But everybody complains, but don't nobody do anything. When this box is out here, those brothers out here on Friday, people look, shuffle like they're doing a shuffle. Going by the box with your hand in your pocket. You don't do nothing. If somebody asks you to pick up some paper, you come in here to make some, you see the paper outside, you don't pick it up. You don't do anything except you want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you something. It really is tiring for some of us because it wears us down. Imam is eating bean pies because he's stressed out. I mean, really, I'm not kidding. It's bean. I say, I keep spraying. But because you need something to pick you up with all this stuff that's coming. And it's not really funny. It's serious that some of us are carrying the weight all the time. All the time. By the time we get home to our families, it's like we might not have a family. Even though they try to understand. We have the book of Allah and the Sunnah of Muhammad. Why don't we try to work our own problems out ourselves? Just be patient. Just be patient with each other. You come to somebody you want a wife, be patient. Take your time, just like you waited and made dua, take your time. Don't go someplace else, okay, we want to do it here. Well, you want to be patient? Well, I can't wait. You do it, now you want to come back and say, can you fix this for us? This is our situation. It's like that basketball game. In the hoop and out the hoop. In the hoop and out the hoop. Or I bank this off the backboard or whatever they have, I don't know. Really, we should be serious about it. This is all I wanted to say.
Can you say one more?
No. No.
You made a lot of points, but I think the main point is that we should put a full court press on this dean.
Really? If you want to say it like that, I mean, you're joking, but really, really, look at our condition. Really look at our condition. I mean, this is real serious. And I don't want to belabor the point of running on and on and on, because the tape has ran out as it is. But really, as the men of the community, like the brother said, we don't do nothing. A bunch of sisters come in here. Came down, we had a meeting, look, we want to do this, brother. Okay, give us a sheet. They came back the next day, a couple of days later, brother Hanif, here's the sheet, here's what we want. Here's what the money will be, this is what we're going to bring in. The men, all we doing is sitting around with Aki, you know, your pants need to be up just a little bit higher, Aki. But you ain't doing nothing to help the master. You ain't coming in here, you're not giving anything. You're not doing anything, you just sitting here, just sucking it all up. Just suck like a sponge. Except you ain't giving nothing back. Nothing whatsoever. And if we squeeze you, ain't nothing coming out of you. Right. Know why? Because you ain't doing nothing. It's just a game to some of us. This is not a clique here. This is the deen of Islam. It's not a clique. Don't be in it because my man is on it. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed a favor on you to come to this deen. You got to pay that back. Some way, somehow. If not, then we all know what the recompense is. And this is real serious. And I don't want to be down on anybody except myself about this. But it's like me. I know my weakness. We all know it. Let's get the masjid together. Let's do what we have to do. We have these talks all the time. It's like a community meeting now. And tomorrow, be the same. Walk by that same piece of paper that was out there. You come in here, you sit around, you joke and laugh, and I go home and do whatever I do. No, you're going to be held accountable, brothers. And this is real.
Now, really, Omar is right on this point, and I don't know what it's going to take for us to realize. Really, the divorce and the marital situation here is unbelievable. And I'm almost starting to wonder,
could it be worse someplace else? That's how serious it is here. People ain't serious about it. Really, I've been thinking lately, some of the people, I just ain't marrying them. No, brother, I ain't marrying you. Because how are we going to keep participating in all of this stuff? Wallahi, you don't know how many marriage certificates that people never even get them. 2 weeks, the certificate come back, people finish. Ask how many brothers in this community never got a marriage certificate. We get 2 copies, one for the masjid, one for them. How many 2 copies right in there at the masjid, married and divorced, never got? It's a lot. It ain't like 1, 2, 3. It's 5, 10, 15 brothers. But this thing is real serious, and the people not taking it serious, and everybody's just smiling and laughing. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best if we're co-signing all of this. But from now on, I think I'm going to be free from it. And I think I want to set a policy for myself to come right here and then say, I'm free from these people if they get married. So that people can know. Because the people, really, it's just a shame they just use us to co-sign their own foolishness. And some of the people, alhamdulillah, have at least some type of integrity that they go get somebody else other than us to co-sign. And we hope that that's respect for us. But then when it falls apart, then they come back to us. Can you patch it up? Patch what up? You ain't married, brother. Nah, I did get married. How you get married? We said we wasn't marrying you. Well, I went down, something, something. All right, tell so-and-so to work out your problem. Well, so-and-so don't got no knowledge. Well, so-and-so had enough knowledge to take care of you, to get you married. Why he ain't got enough knowledge to handle the case now? And this is just too many cases, like the brother is saying. It's not 1 or 2 or 3 cases. It's so many cases, you can't even count it. And it's just a shame that the people claim that they're practicing Islam and they can't even get their own houses together. And what kind of community we're going to have if the people can't keep their houses intact? I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for success. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam wa subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. For the brothers of this community, if we have to continue something, let's continue at Fajr. Mustafa came from New York, inshallah. And not even from the people in the area. Astaghfirullah. No, the brother, inshallah, Mustafa, if he has something to say, as the brother is wise, inshallah, he accepted Islam before many of us, and he's been married more years than many of us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve him. We'll let him give his last words, inshallah, and then maybe tomorrow after Fajr, if there's some time to continue, then we'll continue. But really, the people just need to practice more so than to question. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best.